Hey, you're on the
radio. You were tuned in to Mind Blowing Decisions with DJ Success every Wednesday at facesofsuccessradio.com.
Hey, you on the air? Can you guys hear me? This is Meshawn Thornton with Mind Blowing Decisions, and we are discussing we've discussed love, life, and relationships. And our topic tonight is about rape and molestation. So we have our co-hosts, Nayara and Latrice, and we are just so excited to be able to talk to you guys tonight about this very serious topic, and we just can't wait to dive in. So I'm going to ask the ladies to go ahead and introduce themselves, and let's get cracking into this.
All right, all right. I'm excited. You guys already know it's your girl, Nye, representing for Faces of Success. I got my sparkling grape juice here. I am ready to dive into these topics.
Awesome.
Hello, everyone. This is Latrice Cantrell from L.A. County. I'm here, you know, to do what it do.
Okay, so Nye and Latrice, this is a topic that I have not spoken public about. I am a victim of rape and molestation myself. So I'm really intrigued on everybody's views about this. I have overcome a lot of the challenges that comes along with that, the guilt, some things that most people won't tell you about, which is that even when you're getting hurt, there's the backlash that comes along with that, the way people look at you and the way you look at yourself. You look at yourself different. Sometimes your self-worth is, your self-esteem is taken away. So I'm really excited to talk to you guys and share with our audience, you know, that you can overcome anything, no matter what it is.
Absolutely. To kick off the mood as far as this serious topic, because it's a lot of people that go through it, and a lot of times people don't speak up. Me speaking from experience, I was a victim of molestation at a young age too, and it's one of the main things that people the reason we don't speak on it is shame. Me in particular, I didn't tell my mother for years until I got older that this happened, just out of a mere fear of judgment and embarrassment. And a lot of times victims feel like it's their fault that it happened, and we kind of shut out our emotions and don't speak on it. And it's evident that it's not our fault, and it's better to speak up and be a voice than just to continue to shut out that emotion and continue to be a victim.
Absolutely. The subject is so sensitive and so, it touches so many people. And we know that this doesn't just happen to young kids. We know that it doesn't just happen to women, but we know that it happens to boys. And that shame that comes along with that as well, and men. And so I hope this gets deep tonight, because it's a serious thing that happens throughout the world, and a lot of families are touched by it. I'm just really want to bring some light to, again, that you can overcome even the shame that comes along with that. Even some people walk around with guilt, like you said, Nye, because they feel like it's their fault, or someone has told them it's their fault, or you better not tell nobody, or, you know, I'm going to do X, Y, Z to you. So we go into a lot of different phases where, after being molested or raped, you go into a lot of different phases, and it touches people, and some people come back, some people don't. So.
Right, that's very true. And I don't know if you guys watch Iyanla Fix My Life, Miss Iyanla Van Zandt. But
I have seen her. Yeah.
love her. There was actually an episode here recently, and she's with a family, and it was mostly girls, and they spoke of their brother molesting the youngest one before he passed away with sickle cell anemia. And it, even though he had passed away years ago, one thing that Yama mentioned that people don't inflict pain on others unless they've received that same pain or something similar themselves. And the brother was molested. It was a pattern from the mother who was molested, and her children had been molested in some sort of way, shape, or form, maybe not by the same person. But she said that it's either repetition, and it goes down the bloodline, it goes down the family line, generational curses, or most likely something has happened to that person inflicting pain or causing pain, and they're taking it out on another person, whether it's the closest person to them or the easiest target, because they never got their voice out or they never felt like they could ever talk to someone.
Absolutely.
Absolutely true.
My mind is blown away because there are several things that you spoke on right there that, I mean, we can just tackle each one of them. A lot of times it happened within the family, and, you know, it's swept up under the rug. So I like to talk about that. I like to talk and get your views on how do you, now that you have experienced this, what was the light that came into play that you were able to speak up and say something about what happened? What empowered you to make you say anything? Was there a reoccurring event?
Honestly, it was just talking in general conversation. I was just going through a hard time, and I was just in just sheer frustration. I just finally let it out. It was just some of the things that were running through my head as far as dealing with family members and dealing with just work and balancing life as a whole, and then dealing with my own self-esteem and that event bringing a cause of a major decrease in my self-esteem growing up as a young girl. I couldn't hold it anymore. And, of course, they were surprised. They were shocked. They didn't know how to react. And, of course, family doesn't know. It was someone who used to babysit me, and they trusted her. But, of course, I was told not to say anything, and I didn't. And, of course, there are adverse results to that, so that's what happened. And I think the number one thing that people have an issue with, even after the process and you speak out on it, is to love yourself even more, because it's a process. Self-love, self-discovery, learning to love yourself again even through the process, it's definitely hard. Especially once you finally let it out and speak it into the existence, and having people know, it's definitely a journey in itself. But once I finally let it out, I wasn't ashamed anymore.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Did you have any support groups?
No, just God in my conscience. Honestly, it was just. I dealt with it, and it was hard, but prayer and just eventually becoming fed up with being fed up, it just came out.
Yeah, so there was times where I felt as if I couldn't tell anybody. And so it was a repeat offender, and they had threatened me and told me some things that was detrimental to me, it's a family member, and it got me really serious that when I tried to speak out as a young child, they let me know that they would carry out the threat on my life if I told anybody. So for years, I carried physical scars. I was pushed on some train tracks. It was deep. It was really deep. But, you know, these are the things that people go through, and this is part of the reason why people don't speak up, is because of fear. And so it's good that you have the support of your parent. There is a lot of families out here that don't have that support, that don't feel that they can trust anyone, and that that violator has more power than they do. And so they lose their voice in the process because fear has gripped them. And so for years I didn't tell anybody. And then when I finally told, it was a scandal, of course, you know, breaking up the other family, you know, things of that nature. And so I know a lot of families have dealt with that. I've, you know, grew up with quite a few of them myself. So I wanted to know what your take is, you guys' take is on the fear that young people or people who have these experiences kind of go through, you know, like how what would you advise them to do?
The number one thing I can honestly say is to speak out as soon as possible, because the longer you wait, the more it festers and the more it bothers you. And it ultimately comes out in different ways. It may not come out in your in your speech, but it may come out as far as being bothersome and something negative laying on you as an ulcer, or you might have a stroke, or it can lead to massive headaches, or it's something so powerful.
Oh yeah, the list goes on.
Yes. Like be like getting a word out and holding on to such negativity and negative energy can lay such a toll on your body and your mind and your spirit. So I would say the number one thing, even though as hard as it is to deal with the shame and the fear, and a lot of people make a mockery out of it and don't understand. I remember when I tried to explain to people in middle school, I was about 12 years old, and these kids are laughing, looking at me, like, haha, you talked about rape, and they talked about it in a book, or molestation, and making a joke out of it. And I'm just like, it's not funny. And that's one of the main things people. And then there's another case when you get into grade school and high school as well. Oh, you must have did something to cause it. Excuse my language. You're a whore, or you're a slut. Things of that sort. And it's terrible. The era of communication we live in, and young people, and also people in older in age, and young adults and adults as well. So, like I said, of course, there's going to be fear of judgment, fear of people saying something and passing negative things and saying things. But the number one thing and the best thing I can tell you is to speak out. It's the best thing in the world, and it's the best therapy you will ever receive. I feel like I'm taking up the mic. Somebody take it from me.
You was doing it, girl. You was doing it.
Okay. I have a question. Why do they, like, churches and families want to sweep it up under the rug?
Because they're victims themselves.
That's true. And shame.
Most of the time, and it's something that wouldn't. Right. You don't talk about that. We don't tell Uncle Willie. We don't tell on, you know, we don't tell. We keep it to ourselves. And you know, when we were growing up, I know in the 70s and the 80s, you know, we had that collective family. You know, we went to grandma's house, or we was at auntie and them house, and we all slept on the floor, the cousins, and, you know, and somebody over there in that room was being fondled with, but nobody said anything, but everybody knew. They just laid there in the heat, you know, because we had ACs back then. and they would continue this bad pattern behavior as if it was okay, because it happened to Aunt Sue when she was 12 and nobody said nothing. And so that was the curse that was put on families, that they didn't talk about those kind of things. They didn't talk about money and finances. They just didn't talk about it. And so they were raising, right? They were raising us to be silent as well. And I think that we have gotten away in this day and era where we tell our kids straight up, you know, like, hey, if somebody touch you, you know, these are the parts that they ain't supposed to touch. And so now, you know, those things are coming to the light. So what age do you think that we should educate our children about their bodies, about their self-empowerment, you know, because a lot of times children don't know that they have power, especially when you've been told children are not to be spoken, and they are not to speak until they're spoken to. So it was a lot of that mannerism going on back then that kind of was the reason why
right.
these things could happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think, and I also want to bring up a couple of points about the church and also about the military as well with these cases.
Oh,
but
yes.
In regards to what you were saying, I think that I was around 10 years old once I had my first anatomy class and sex ed. So I think around 10 would be okay to really just explain certain things. Because, I mean, we've got so many different topics as far as gun violence and things that have to be explained early on because, mm-hmm. I mean, and then, of course, with the diseases and the hepatitis and AIDS epidemics, it needs to be talked about early on so kids know. And it's sad that we have to do that now. But I think 10, around 10, 11, 12, somewhere in that area, hopefully 10, that they should be exposed to or even just sat down to explain about what it is and taking care of your body.
Latrice, what's your view on that?
My view on that, I think probably like between ages five and seven, because now we have little kindergartners that, you know, are getting touched and, you know, so I think, you know, between five and seven, you know, by the time they 10 and 11, you know, they developing, they, you know, going through puberty and stuff, you know, and from what stories that I have read, that young and older guys, they look at little girls or little boys from the ages 5 and 7.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And just to speak on a little bit further on the topic that I wanted to mention, ladies, a lot of cases as far as the church, let's talk about the church first. What the church is supposed to be and their intention as far as being like a second family and being there for salvation and getting closer to God, the Most High, whatever you believe in, it has changed to being more so about an image than anything else. And a lot of times if they have like these mega churches, if they have a really popular pastor or they have someone who is a leader of the church or somebody, a public speaker, and they're doing things behind the scenes to people, they'll shut their mouths just out of image and keeping them there and keeping sanity in the church. You understand what I'm saying? We don't want to lose members because this is going on behind the scenes. We don't want to lose the funding and the sponsorship and our public speaker because it's so true, though. We don't want to
I'm saying amen because I witnessed it, you know, firsthand growing up, and part I thought the church was going to help me. They was the first people that I told that I was molested when I got older, and I thought that I would get the help, but there was no help for me there because most of the people that was in a church was hurt by the same kind of things, and most of them would tell you, okay, we'll talk about that, we'll pray about that, we'll get that over to the Lord, let's learn these scriptures, and that's okay because that was healing. Learning the scriptures actually did help me to recognize that that I was the righteousness of God, and you know that I was the apple of His eye, and that you know all things were old and now become new. So I understood what the scriptures did for me, and I'm forever grateful. But again, just as in the homes, the churches are assimilated because no one wants to, like you said, no one wants to talk about those kind of opposing objective things that will tear the church up, that will shame deacon, that will shame, you know what I'm saying? Like, and so the pastors, they were creeping as well and doing the same thing, and young girls were getting pregnant by the pastors and so forth and the deacons. But, you know, hey, that was just the way of life.
And speaking of the military, I'm sure you guys remember when the don't ask, don't tell policy was brought into the military. And a lot of these cases where a lot of the a lot of our soldiers were being raped and molested, even not even just being held captive in foreign countries, but by our own people on our own American soil and on base. And of course, now a lot of people are speaking out and they're being removed and having dishonorable discharges from the service and when removing their ranks. But at the same time, why do we have these types of policies? Again, it's an image. Don't ask, don't tell. You can't speak on this. Even if it happens to you, you just have to suffer and go through it. And I mean, they go through enough as far as the mental abuse and emotional abuse for being a quote-unquote top soldier, a mean green fighting machine for the American government. But then when they need the therapy and they need the peace of mind, they can't even get that because veterans don't even get half of what they deserve. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, what are you guys' opinions on as far as the military is concerned for these cases of rapes and molestation?
Before we go any further, we just have our co-host Gigi just joining us. So, Gigi, if you'd like to chime in on our conversation, come on in and let
hey,
us
Gigi.
Let's dive right in.
Just don't have
Gigi.
Okay, so.
Okay, I just came in, so I have a question to ask.
Okay.
So, now you was asking, what do we think about the policies? Don't ask, don't tell. Was that not just for like even for either gay or lesbian?
Yes.
Lifestyle.
It wasn't.
Yeah. Okay. So it wasn't just about the. The rapes and molestation that went on there.
Mhm. That's exactly what it was. It was an overall policy for everything. If something went down, if you had a sergeant that was dirty, as far as the molestations and rape, or even about homosexuality or heterosexuality and people cheating and things of that sort, that don't ask, don't tell policy covered everything. And now, of course, it's more open and they're doing a lot more as far as protecting their soldiers and having dishonorable discharges for cheating, for smoking marijuana, it has been abolished in multiple different ways. But I'm just saying, overall, to even have that policy, I just want to know what you guys feel about that in those many different instances and cases.
I think that they have those. Oh, go ahead, Michelle.
You go ahead, honey.
Okay. Because military still consider a business, so they have these little policies and stuff. Don't tell, you know, so they don't lose money. Everything's about money.
That's deep, but you're absolutely right. It's a business, and if it shames the business or brings bad publicity, then no, we definitely not going to deal with that because you know the paperwork that has to go into it after all the policies are wrote, and that's only because those policies are in place because the abusers are in place because someone, you know what I mean. That's like. I don't even know what you call that, what term you would even use it, but that's an oppressor who had to put those policies in place because they was out there doing things that was just unethical and, you know, immoral. And so they put things in place to protect themselves and not to bring light and the shame against these barbaric behaviors. I mean, that's what was happening. You know, whether a man or a woman decides that they wanted to live a lifestyle that was alternative or they wanted to, you know, someone just got caught up and out of somebody else's lust and desire or just the people wanting power over another individual, I think those why those policies are there and they have really have no place there. But it's a business, as she said, that was you, Gigi, right? That It protects them. It doesn't protect the person that is being hurt.
I have a question.
And
ladies.
I think they should.
Go ahead.
I was just saying that if I was the government writing policies, if I was in the legislation, whether it was you know, a business, whether it was a church, whatever it is, whatever entity it is, a commercial property, you know, university, whatever, and I put things like that in place, it's because it has run rampant, and I need to get a hold of it. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's not to protect the victim, but it is to protect the victimizer.
Right. And here's my question, ladies. Now, there have been instances, and I have my stand on it, and I don't know how you guys feel about it. There has been instances where husband and wife have been encountered as far as rape or molestation, and because he feels that you're his wife, he can just take it whenever. Understand what I'm saying? There's been multiple cases.
That was my next question. Oh, my goodness. This is a touchy one. I love it, though. And this is my take on it. Again, policies and scriptures are in place to, you know, to do what it do, because we understand that scriptures has been, you know, been altered from time to time through translation. And there are times it's just that simple, regardless of what is written. When someone says no, because I know young boys who have been raped, I know young boys who've been molested by, you know, people in their family as well. So it doesn't matter what sex you are. If someone, or whether you're in a marriage, and even though they tell you that in the marriage, and I'm married, they tell you in the marriage that, you know, your body is not your own and you have to give and be submissive, whoa, okay, I don't have to take in foul spirits, but you forgot to tell me that. So an abusive man or abusive woman that will come inside of a marriage and take advantage and not respect their spouse, their significant other, their partner, I think have crossed the line that, and which happens in marriages all over the world. But the thing of it is that you have to know your tolerance. I think that if you know that you got a drunk man coming in and he won't it, and you got to keep the peace, you got to get up the next day because you got to go to work. Life don't stop. You know, you just keep going, and so nobody reports that. Who do you tell that to? So wives and you know, are usually holding that thing in their chest, you know, forever time. And if they share that information with anybody, especially with members of the church, then they just say, girl, please, you know, you were supposed to give it up. Just turn over and give it up. You know, don't fight because your body don't belong to yourself. Well, I think that's a misconception, because I think that it's all about respecting the temple. And my temple is mine to, you know, to take care of. And if you abuse that temple, then at that point I think I have a right to get out, because that's abuse.
Exactly. And like I said in our last show, a lot of people are, young people in particularly, are just having sex just to be having sex. And I understand mm-hmm. liberation of your body and being free and doing what you want to do, but sex is spiritual. It's more than just get to having an orgasm and going about your business. It's an exchange of.
Do they even have that?
it's an exchange of your spirit with another person, and there's something mm-hmm. dangerous I want to warn everyone about, and it's called a soul tie. And a lot of times, even in exchanging sex, or even if it's just engaging in a person, period, and having someone toxic in your life, you can tie yourself to the wrong person, and then you wonder why I can't let this person go, even though they're not good for me. And in a lot of instances, it's sex or they're, you know, blankmatized for our females
mm-hmm.
here,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
some of us can't mm-hmm. let it go, and it's a soul tie. Sex is definitely nothing to play with. I mean, and what do you guys feel? Please,
no, it's a responsibility.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree. You know, because you can get tied to the wrong person, and when you things start getting bad, it's hard to get rid of that person because they messed your head all up, or they threaten you. Oh, I'm speaking from experience. Okay, I was in a toxic relationship, okay, and I had to really give myself to God and pray this man out my life. Mm-hmm. Because he,
I think we all have,
leave,
we all can say amen to that.
Yeah,
amen.
You know, amen.
I've been through that.
Yeah, he would make threats and crazy stuff. So you know what? I got a better weapon. I know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question, and this is a question that my daughter-in-law posed to me, because we were talking about, we always have these open conversations about different things and how the challenges that people face trying to get better, to get to heal, to be stronger and not repeat those things, and knowing the signs with children, knowing the signs in, you know, a young child, regardless, knowing where somebody's battered on all these different levels, because there's a sad connection to most of the time that most people are molested or raped that they become promiscuous, very promiscuous,
mm-hmm.
and all kind of, or either they use and abuse drugs, alcohol, or whatever they do, and some people become what they consider nymphomaniacs. And so her question to me was this, and I'd like to know what you guys think. What happens, or have what your take is on a female that has been raped, no matter the age, and a child was born from it, and they, you know, have to make a decision to give that child away or to keep that child, and have to the reminding of this tragic experience?
Ah, that's a really good question. I think that a lot of times, with our emotions and our emotions getting caught up and this tragic event happens, a lot of times we mistaken the child as being the problem, and a lot of people take their frustrations and their agony and their sadness out on the baby, and it's not necessarily the child's fault. They didn't ask to be here.
Of course
but
not.
A lot
it's
of
never
times,
the child's fault.
And a lot of times they receive that, the blunt end of the abuse and the negativity and the verbal abuse. And then 9 times out of 10, because the parent experienced that, or they just don't care, and then it leads to drugs and it leads to other things and being around the wrong crowd. Then again, it becomes a pattern and something happens to that child. So I really think that with a lot of these cases,
absolutely,
they either take it out on the child, or, as you mentioned, giving the child away. But at the same time, everything trails along with you. Something from your parent trails along with you no matter what. It could be the way they speak, the way they think, their bad habits.
Mm-hmm.
It just trails behind all of us, and they may be in the foster care system. They might be getting in with the
mm-hmm.
wrong crowd, and then their pattern repeats. They might find somebody that they fall in love with that's not really good for them, and it's a toxic relationship. Shame is their mother or their father. It just becomes a repetitive pattern, whether you give the child away or you keep the child. Eventually, something is going to come up showing the evidence of what happened before the child got here, and basically the blunt end of the stick and what the result of your actions.
That's a good point. Part of what I'm thinking is that you all seen the movie Precious, and where, you know, her father fathered her children. And on top of fathering her children, right, you guys are following me, on top of following the children, she developed AIDS. And mom knew the whole time that her husband, her man, because she needed somebody, and out of pity and out of needing, being desperate, needing a man in her life, she allowed him to continue to go in there and sleep with her daughter. What are your takes on that?
Wow.
Low self-esteem.
That's one good point. Low self-esteem and sheer fear. Because, I mean, once you're in an abusive relationship, you develop survival skills, honestly. And you have to think, like, if I don't do this, what will happen to me and my child? So a lot of the time, parents do what they think is right in the instance of survival, but really it causes more damage to the child than it does them. And it ultimately it causes guilt.
And I know that, the older that we get, the experiences that we have, we've seen it. We may not have been touched by it, but we know somebody. We grew up with somebody. It was somebody next door that we knew that was going through that. So I kind of want to tackle the backlash that comes along with the woman that decides to give her child away after being molested or raped, and the stigmatization that's put on her, because I would love my child regardless of how it was conceived. That would be something that I kind of looked at a long time ago based on my own personal situation. Like, I have enough love to love in spite of. But most people are just hurt and so devastated.
That may be true, but then again, you may love your child so much that you don't want them to experience anything, and out of fear and out of mere love and protection, you give them away for the possibility of them never having to face that at all. Again, with the survival instinct and thinking on your feet as far as surviving and making sure that the child is in a better place and mindset than you were at that point at all. So I think it would be for protection purposes too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it can go either way. Yeah, it can go any way. And there's no right or wrong here, and that's the reason that I brought it up. There is no right or wrong. How something affects someone's life is not determined by everyone else. It is determined by how they internalize the situation, their self-worth, and so on. So, I think you had mentioned something about what's the earliest age to talk to your child about, being aware of their bodies and no one to touch you. I have always taught my little sisters, my little nieces and nephews, and my own children, any child that I have ever had pleasure of having, from infants, to the moment that we start washing up in a tub is the moment that you start making them aware of their bodies and no one is to touch these private areas. I don't think 10 is too late. See, I was molested as soon as I came out of my pampers. So I don't think that there's an age that you can't tell your child to watch out for themselves, to protect themselves. And survival, as you were saying, survival skills happen. Well, for me, they did. Survival skills happened that I would protect and arm my children with the information, or my loved ones with the information, to protect themselves and let me know if anybody made you feel any kind of way, from the dolls to the teddy bears to whatever toys, the G.I. Joes, it didn't matter. We had to talk about that as soon as they were able to talk. And so I think it's a misconception or a disjustice for parents to not talk to their child immediately. As soon as their child is aware, when you're changing diapers and that child is starting to fondle themselves, that's the moment that you start telling children about themselves.
Now that you've put it in that perspective, I can definitely agree, because I was molested when I was 6. And I knew nothing about nothing but candy and Barbie dolls and playing and hopscotch and riding my bike. I didn't know nothing about nothing. So I definitely agree that getting the knowledge in as early as possible can really protect them from predators, and knowing to speak up and say when something is wrong or somebody touched you. I can agree with that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because we are talking about being able to help people, to help people to be able to make a decision. See, when someone violates someone, especially at that age, those tender ages, there's usually a babysitter involved, whether it's a relative or, you know, just a, you know, a professional. There's usually some form of they know that those children don't have a voice. They know that their parents are away and unaware of who they are as a predator. And so they utilize that. In my case, the person, my violator, utilized the fact that my mother was a single mother and was working and going to school, and that she would be gone most of the day. So he had his time to do with me as he wanted to, and no one would check him because there was no one around. They target predators. Let's talk about those predators. Predators target children that don't talk, that's reserved, that's, that plays well by themselves. Those are the children that most likely are affected by these type of predators. And there was a viral video going around some time ago this year, early part of this year, with this man had this little girl, you know, performing oral sex on him. And they found him and they arrested him or whatever. But it was sickening me because it jumped in my inbox like so many times. And I got really, I'm just telling you, pissed off at the fact that people were sharing that. Don't share that kind of crap with me. I was just appalled because it took me back to a place where that could have been me, and that was me at one time, that someone could have abused me in such a way. And to keep me from being broken, you know, meaning to keep them from penetrating me, they do different things to you. And so they make you feel like it's a game. It's, you know, don't tell nobody, it's our private game. If your child is ever told, don't tell, that's the time that you know what I mean? You have to prepare your children. And I just, you know, it's a real sensitive situation. It's a real situation that people overlook. Unless you've experienced those things and been through them, you won't be able to, like, I can see it on any child that I ever come in contact with because I was that child. I've seen that look in the eyes. I know the shaking and the urination. When you have kids that urinate all the time on themselves in the bed at night and things like that, there's signs that go along with this, you know, this kind of violation. And, you know, I think we need to self-educate ourselves on those things and involve ourselves in communities where people have been hurt like that so that we can kind of help them to get stronger because they don't feel strong. They feel weak. They feel like they're worthless. I suffered with a lot of self-esteem issues for a long time in my life, and people, I was misunderstood all the time because I would have trigger moments that would bring me back into a place that wasn't comfortable, whether it was with a boy or whether it was with a girl. I mean, like, let's talk about it. I had a lot of gay girlfriends that I didn't know was gay. And when they came to me, I was like, okay, that's fine. That's your life. That's not mine. We still can kick it. Just don't approach me with that. You know, your life is yours. And so I never judge anyone, but I always try to put myself in a situation where I'm understanding the victim or the circumstances that they may be going through mentally, because it's a mental thing. Now, bless God that you were able to talk and tell someone, but there's someone out there that's listening to us that cannot talk about it, that don't know where to go. If we can be a voice, if we can be some type of, you know, give some type of advice on those people who are suffering in silence, who this is happening to right now, even older women, they are being abused. My husband worked at a nursing home years ago, and he walked in on one of the CNAs molesting one of the patients, and he pulled him off of it. He got fired, but he got fired because he beat the man up to get him off of the patient. And they didn't protect my husband, who was trying to protect the patient. They protected the abuser. So it's crazy, right? Because these policies, you know, all of it's entwined, but these policies, right? Those policies are
like
there
I said,
to protect them because
it's a
they let him go.
They won't lose no money. They lose patience. Everything is a business, and it's fact.
Yeah. Speaking of businesses, ladies, there's a lot. There's a typical notion or lingo that's used in the entertainment industry, and I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called the casting couch, and a lot of times, a lot of these major celebrities are sleeping with directors or are asked to perform sexual acts with directors. Or even forced upon to receive roles for a lot of these major motion pictures. So, how do you guys feel about that?
It is crazy because someone just was down my timeline. They have a young teen daughter who's stepping into the entertainment world. Her mother is famous. She's a multimillionaire actress and woo-woo-woo. And they, a producer, you know, approached her daughter and told her that basically taking pictures of her without her top on. And you know, of course, mom went off.
Oh, my God.
Exposed it.
That's awful.
Exposed it. This happens. And so we were trying to bring awareness to this and to just give the girls, you know, a voice to speak up if you're ever in an uncomfortable situation. When someone ever asks you, you know, the moment that you feel that uncomfortability, you know, it's time to check out. So that's what we're trying to bring awareness to when it comes down, especially to people that's in the entertainment world, is to train them, teach them, let them know the warning signs out there, you know, because predators come in all kind of packages. They look like us.
Right.
You know, they don't have a certain look. It could be anybody, and you will never know. And then people are being victimized constantly, again, being hushed, so that they can get ahead in life, so that they don't have to struggle. If you do this, if you give me oral sex, if you take off your clothes and you pose this way, or you lay, you know, in these uncompromising positions, hey, I'll pay your bills. That sounds good to a starving artist or a starving, you know. So people do those things, and I think we have to bring more awareness to those things. But I think it's awful.
Yeah. And it's not just – go ahead, Latrice. I want you to speak your piece on it as well.
Yeah.
I think artists or upcoming entrepreneur that wants to come into this business, educate yourself about the business and know your worth, that you don't have to do favors to get put yourself out there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not
Gigi,
even,
what do
it's,
you
it's
think
not
about
even,
that?
But the producer,
Gigi?
Would you just yes. Yeah. You said about the producer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't think
okay.
that she should do that.
Right. That's true. And
she shouldn't do that.
Right, and it's not even just in the entertainment industry people. It happens in corporate America, too, a lot of times.
Yeah,
you get
absolutely.
A job.
Yeah.
If you want to get higher up on the ranks, if you want to be the next VP in line or CEO, you have to do – they expect you to do certain things as a woman. And it's so sexist to just to think that we can – take our clothes off and woo, we're high on the food chain now versus allowing women to really work hard. And most of the times we're not even doing it. Most of the times we're not even giving in to the adversity, and people instantly think that, oh, she must have slept with the boss to get this position, not because she has a great work ethic and she knows how to work the software or she's great in the meetings and working with people. Nah, because her skirt is a couple 2 inches too high above her knees. They think that they're doing something. Like Amber Rose is a very big example as far as being comfortable in your sexuality and being an entrepreneur, but sometimes you can be in a pair of sweatpants and jeans and people are thinking, oh, she's a skank, she just gets around, and it's not even
right. That
the case. And then of course when you dress like one, they're thinking, oh, it's just a joke, or it's just her being herself, or it's just like people in their opinions. You can never please anybody nowadays, especially in the eyes of the media and in the world that we live in now. Media has three sides. It's the truth, it's what everyone believes, and then it's the mediators. There's the, oh, leave them alone, living their lives, blah, blah, blah. Then we got the trolls that's, oh, she knows she is skank. She knows she this, that, and the third. She knows she doing this. And then it's, of course, the people who know the truth, where it's just like, leave people alone. Can you let people just be who they are? And because you're comfortable in who you are as a woman and your sexuality, or even as a man in your sexuality, it doesn't make you a wuss. It doesn't make you any less of a person. It just period. Let people be comfortable in their sexuality, because a lot of times it causes insecurities and it leads people down the wrong path of getting with the wrong crowd again. Oh, I want to try this, that, and the third, or forcing you getting into something that you're not really into. I mean, come on now. There's a lot of cases, and I'm not just saying for those that say they were born homosexual or born gay or born a part of the rainbow team, Team Rainbow, hey. It's a lot of people women in general who said, I went to play on the other team because I was molested or I was raped or I didn't feel loved by a male figure in my life. So to be the man and be that person that I never had, I went to a woman. You understand what I'm saying? There's plenty of cases of women.
But you know,
this
is the funny part. The most saddest part about that is that when they, most of the time that I've seen and I've witnessed, they get with the women. Women get with women for the sake of getting away from men. And a woman is trying to portray an attribute of a man. And guess what? They are abusive. Because, oh, she was, this other girl was looking at you, or you was talking to this other girl, so it becomes an abusive relationship. I've seen it where girls are on top of girls fighting because of jealousy, the same issue that you have with a man. The only difference is there's no penis. But so you're trading out because you said you was rejected or you was hurt and beat up by a male. And then you go to a woman, but this woman is doing the exact same thing that man was doing to you. And so I think you have to love yourself and learn how to, as you were saying in our last show last week, there's a difference in being lonely and being alone.
Mm-hmm.
It just is.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time we accept the butt man or the butt woman, but they love me. They didn't mean to. You know, we were talking and we got elevated, but no one has the right to invade your private space or hurt you in any fashion. And if you are toxic, I feel like people need to learn how to love themselves so they can recognize the toxic behaviors and patterns in people so that they can get away, whether they're with the same sex or not. And you come back down to loving yourself, because I can't tell you that there's a difference in the relationship between two women and a man and a woman. I can tell you that they face some of the same issues. So regardless of their decision to go that route, that's their personal decision, and what's behind closed doors ain't got nothing to do with me. That's
You guys got me on a roll here. Here's another interesting topic. I don't know if you've ever heard of polygamy or polygamous cults.
Yes.
For those of the listeners who aren't familiar, it's when people are entering into a relationship and having multiple wives at one time. Just to give a little bit of back history, it started out with the Mormon religion of communing in polygamy. And eventually in the early 1700s, 1800s, they removed that. And eventually, Mormons started to drift off on their own and create their own polygamous cults. And it's huge in the Utah and Colorado areas. And it's how do you guys feel about marrying multiple people? I can't do it.
Me either.
Oh, my God, girl, you got me over here done laughing.
Oh,
I heard this.
Demons and spirits.
I heard this preacher say over the pulpit, I am like David. I am his brother. And as long as I can pay to play, I'm going to play as hard as I can. I am laughing so hard at that because it didn't just start with the Mormons. We talked about that last week. This was the customs of people who were sexually active. There was just the virtue of a female didn't matter much. And so they openly had sex with everybody, and it actually started with the Romans. It had nothing to do with just the Mormons. It was the Roman. If you go to Europe, that was their custom. And they brought that over
right.
to the Americas. And that's just what happened. Now, Mormons, because they kept a close-knit community and they didn't allow outsiders in, they allowed them at a certain age to go out into the world and make a decision for one whole year whether they wanted to stay and practice their practices because they married within their families, or if they wanted to go out there in the world and they can do whatever they wanted to get into. Well, a lot of them didn't want to come back home. Some of them did come back home. But the ones that stayed out there wound up being just as worldly as anybody else, and they were associated with the Mormons and could never come back home after a certain time frame. But that's the same thing that happens in the Jehovah's Witnesses.
I know what it's called. I watched this show. Ladies, you should watch it. It used to come on A&E, but now it's moved to Lifetime, and it's called Escaping Polygamy. And these girls, it's about three or four different girls. They're sisters, blood related from having the same father, mm-hmm. different mothers, and they're all different
mm-hmm.
numbers of wives, and they help people in these polygamous cults escape. And one of the biggest ones
mm-hmm.
is the not to shun them or anything, but one of the biggest ones, and they have been in the media and everything, of marrying 12, 13, 10 underage girls and having sex with them and labeling them as their quote unquote spiritual wives. And one of the leaders is John Daniel Kingston of the FLDS group. And marrying 12, 13, 14-year-old girls and having relations with them and calling them his spiritual wives. And he's in jail to this day
of
molestation and rape of a minor. So, yes, this is deep.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yeah, this is
crazy. It goes so much further than that.
Crazy.
Like when our culture was coming up, the moment that we became a woman, meaning that when we broke into our cycle, our menstrual cycle, we were auctioned to be married. We had to leave the house. There was always some older man jumping on, daddy or uncle, whoever was our ward, to take us off of their hands and take care of them, even if they had lost their wives and they had 12 children. If we was 8 years old and we came on our menstruals, we had to go in the house and take care of it. We had to be mom to those stepkids, and we had to. That was just the way it was, and especially during what they call the slavery time, that was a custom. You remember The Color Purple, and it tells the story the best that I've ever seen in my lifetime. How Celie had to Celie went in. Had to come over there and say, hey, can I take her? Here goes some money. Let me take her because I got all these bad kids and my girls need the hair comb. So as long as she was on her menstrual, she was a woman. You could be married, and kids had kids back then, and it was not a shameful thing as it is in these new days that we have gotten away from that type of lifestyle. But that was a custom. I mean, and then our children were taken from us if we had babies and auctioned off and sold off.
Okay, right. And I'm just, It's just it's literally mind-blowing to me, the fact mm-hmm. that you could have, and these people had, they were sisters, cousins,
yeah.
third cousins, being married off mm-hmm. to their uncles, their fathers. I'm just like, why?
How awful.
Even the gypsies, the gypsies uh-huh. would marry their sisters, their brothers, their first cousins, and that's where you come in with all the different body deformities, you know, because the bloodline was too close. And so there's a lot of connections. You can trace history, you know, the books, go through, you know, and learn all these things were the way of man, because man just didn't know any better. They weren't civilized as we are today. They weren't as cultivated as we are today. They did whatever they felt like doing, and women just didn't have any say. It went from women being empowered, like we talked about last week, to them being broken down and put it at the lowest totem pole and never to ever really come back into power I think through the hippie days, and women became, you know, more empowered again, where they liberated women when she took off, I can't think of her name, when she took off her bra and, you know, and everybody was smoking weed. So that's mm-hmm. just the way things were back then.
Do anybody remember the lead singer, Naughty by Nature?
Mm-hmm.
He was in court, and
mm-hmm.
he had got arrested, like, so he having sex with his 10 years old daughter, impregnating.
Oh no! Yes. Because it was a thing that happened, and that was the reason partially that people didn't tell that Uncle, you know, John or whatever was sleeping with so and so, you know, because Uncle slept with everybody. So we go right back to
mm-hmm.
that beginning conversation where people hushed and didn't say anything, because that was just we were in, our culture was in human farms, where we were mated and made, the men were made to sleep with their own people blindfolded. They were, you know, if they had a enlarged blessing, I'm going to leave it like that, then
mm-hmm.
they were the stallions, and they were to mate with whomever they put in there, and it didn't matter if that was his own child. It didn't matter if that was his mother. We need you to breed us some more children like you. We need the strong stockiness of your sons. Screw them girls, because our master and them going to sleep with the girls anyway and make babies.
Right,
and that's how you get
right.
all these Milano
mm-hmm.
children. Come on, let's just keep it real. A lot of foolishness went down. And
right, that's so true. I want to lighten the mood, ladies, for a second, and it kind of reels into the whole topic. But I was actually having a conversation with a friend of mine, and he overheard a conversation of women speaking on to shave or not to shave, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. How do you ladies feel
uh-huh.
about that?
I'm going to let the other ladies take the mic.
Latrice, how do you feel?
Man, this one right here, I plead a fifth.
Okay, I'm going to step in. Gigi, unless you got something to say, I'm going to step in because I think it's a personal thing.
Mm-hmm. No comment.
Okay, so I'm going to comment then. I love open conversations about this, and I think this is how there's no right or wrong here, but I think that I am in the middle between Latrice and Gigi and you, not, you know, age-wise, I'm in the middle, and so I can speak very openly about that. My mother taught everyone in our household, everyone, male, female, groom yourself. That you know, it's just not right for you to walk around with a certain amount of body hair. You have to take care of that because that causes disease. And there, you know, it's just hygienic. And we're not cave people, So why would you walk around smelling like one?
Okay.
So so there's a grooming that must take place at least every 30 to 60 days. You've got to, you know, take care of that.
You really do. Actually, we had a job that I used to work at when I was in high school, actually my senior year. We actually had a meeting about hygiene. It was a co-worker that came to work funky. And I guess, you know, other staff members was complaining about it, and we actually had a staff meeting about it, about hygiene.
I want to add in just to, you know, I got to throw devil's advocate in here in the mix, but I think for one, I'm going to speak on my personal view, but I'm also going to speak on the fact that the opinion on the hair down there has changed over time. I remember when there was just a time of liberation where people didn't really care. It was just that you could grow it, grow it, braid it, twist it, everything. And it was
right.
And it was no, really. And it was seen as
for real.
It is what it is. It's natural. It's fashion. But as time gone on, it has been more into self-care. And, of course, the statistics in being viewed a certain way. And now it's the self-care industry has grown significantly over the past couple of decades. But me, from my personal opinion, I feel that it shouldn't be you can't see the forest for the trees, but it's nothing wrong with a little peach fuzz. Honestly, I don't see anything wrong with a little something, but not where you look like Cousin It. That's just me.
And I really believe that that's something that will be discussed between your mate and you, because you know, there's just for hygienic purposes. One, the hair is there to protect you. Okay, so I don't think knowing what I know, knowing that if God allowed hair to grow on certain parts of our body, then that hair is designed there for a reason, and that it should be maintained to whatever fashion that fits you and your spouse or you and your significant other. I don't think that no one else can really tell someone else what goes on, especially between their legs, unless you between them.
Exactly, and my thing is, guys, not to sound sexist, I love my man now, but the thing is, they expect one thing from us, but they don't deliver the same or something similar in that area. Because my thing is, if you expect us to be baby booty clean, just fresh as a daisy, what's going on with y'all? I mean,
girl, that is so funny, because I'm concerned about a man that won't you baby bald. Will you want a child? Because I'm a grown-up. I'm a grown woman. So who do you want?
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I went from that stage to a full woman. So either you want a woman or you want a child. Because, I hate to take it back, but I have known predators to, you know, get their wives, they're married with full families, and still out there just, you know, taking advantage of other people. But that's the one thing that turns them on. It's a fetish, and it's a horrible fetish, because you want something that's innocent and young. And so you want me to clean myself as a child? What kind of man are you? Because most men are turned on, you know.
Right.
No, by a little peach fuzz, whether you trim it, shape it, or whatever.
And my thing is, as quickly as you shave it, the quicker it grows back. And that's the most annoying thing in the world. Oh,
and you better
goodness.
Not use all that Nair and stuff, because that Nair has ammonia in it that can burn your skin. Have you guys, listen, ladies, listen to this. Have you heard of the rejuvenation of the vulva?
Yes. Yes. I have.
Girl, what you think about that?
I, I have heard of vaginoplasties for a long time. I am a avid researcher in the body and all these different procedures that
okay.
they're having.
Before we go
it's
any
crazy.
Further with that, do everybody know what we're talking about? Let's clarify that. So there's
no.
a there. Okay. So
oh,
there
okay.
is a procedure.
Okay.
It's a laser procedure that is very harmless. That rejuvenates the beauty of your girl, your purse, and make it youthful. It tightens it up, and it takes about 30 to 45 minutes. You go see a specialist, and they zap, zoop, 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 and then you come back out, and you're like, oh, my God, I'm new.
they even cut off some of the – as I hate this term, but guys use it so much for those of us who have elongated labia minora, rose
uh-huh.
curtain. That's what they call it, and that's that's what's removed or cut down to become
mm-hmm.
more youthful or appealing. Now
pretty.
To me personally,
I
think we're too old for this. Me personally, I think that if a man or your significant other cannot accept you and your youth and to your age now and aging like wine perfectly and beautifully as you are, then what
mm-hmm.
do you need to be with them
mm-hmm.
for? If you can't accept me and I have to accept your you know, when the baggage gets a little heavy. When the baggage gets a little heavy, we got to accept that for you. So how come you can't accept our roast beef curtains? There we go. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I just think, like, people take too much time to think about silly things like that. Like, there's other things in life you could be bossing up on. And I understand if that's your industry and that's your business, then, hey, handle your business, right? But, everyday
true.
Person? Everyday person, no. We, you know, we out here hustling and working hard every day, and, you know, we come home, we get in when we get in, and that's what it is. No, I don't think I got to do all that for you.
just like that. It's been a huge epidemic with these stars and entertainers finally getting their butt implants removed from their body because it's causing so many adverse effects and health problems. My thing is,
it's a
lot. They get motor oil and all types of carrying on put into your backside. But at the same time, what's wrong with being healthy, getting on a good regimen, getting a trainer, and just having your natural muscles and everything grow and prosper, and you being naturally beautiful? What is wrong with that? I'm so sick of seeing the fake butts where your thighs don't match your butt. Your fake breath, and it just looks like it hurts. I'm sorry, it just does. All power to you.
I think
if that's something that you want to do.
Yeah, I think that you
everybody
know,
looking for a quick
I hate
fix.
That. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, and I'm okay. So after my kids and stress, and you know, I got caught with being a little bit unhealthy and not really caring for myself because I was being a caretaker to my mother, my children, my husband, and, you know, whatever functions in life I was in. And I forgot about myself. So my husband said to me, it's so funny, he's like, baby, he was like, woo, he was like, you look kind of good in them jeans, but can you breathe? I thought that was a cute way of saying I picked up some weight. And I thought about that, and I had told my daughter-in-law, I said, I think that I'm going to go on a 30-day challenge and see if I can do vegetables and fruits, just alkaline-based diet, you know, to regain my strength and health. And, yes, of course, the outcome will be that I lose a little weight, but I have lost a lot of weight. I'm really proud of that because I was like almost 300 pounds and now I'm down to like 260. You know, the diabetes is under control. Thank you. And I feel great. I have energy of a 20-year-old. I think most people can't hang with me because I'm just too busy. But I still have my pudge, my gut, and I got to get rid of it. So I'm like, man, every day from my birthday is the 6th of September, y'all. So I'm really excited
Uh-oh.
About that because it's a
Uh-oh.
Whole new
Ms.
chapter.
Virgo. Ms. Virgo.
Yeah,
Virgo.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. So I'm like, okay, I got to get some things together because I want to be good for my husband. I want to be around for him. I want to do a couple more cartwheels and, you know, whatever else, and ride a couple bikes down the lakefront. And being that I'm getting ready to do a lot of travel, I just think that for my self-image, not for other people, but for myself, I want to look a certain way. I want to feel a certain way.
Right.
So it's okay for me to challenge myself to do better for self versus doing it because that's what the media is telling me I have to look like because I'm beautiful just the way I am.
Right. Now, I do have a question for you ladies. Now, we were talking about how a lot of these plastic surgeries are so unhealthy and things, but me personally, I suffer from the pudge as well. And I eat healthy. I don't eat red meat anymore. It's fruits, vegetables, grains, chicken and fish on mostly in my diet, mostly seafood. And I'm
mm-hmm.
exercising. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to, but I can't get rid of my pudge. Now, reeling it back to my question, how would you feel if someone like me who is suffering from this issue and is doing everything right and is maintaining a healthy weight but considering doing like plastic surgery procedure to get rid of the little pudge on your lower stomach or just to get that surface fat off to be able to work the rest off?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. Not at all. Let me tell you, because I've been searching. Like I said, I've been dealing with my weight for a while, and I've been able to successfully to do it, to drop over 100 pounds successfully by my own resistance, by drinking more water. But I don't drink regular water or bottled, just spring water and stuff like that. I drink alkaline water, 9.8 pH, because
oh, you know about
it
the
actually
pH.
Hydrates.
Yes.
Yeah. There are certain things that you just have to do. You have to hydrate the cells. You have to hydrate the body, you know, and all the organisms that's in there. And the only way to do that, because the water that we buy at the stores and then we drink it from the faucet or whatever we do, it has caffeine and all kinds of chemicals in it. It has, but what I'm saying is all these waters are treated. And they're treated with chemicals, but if you really test the pH level in them, they're horrible and they're no good for us. So we've done our study, and they have Keegan water, they have alkaline water, they have all these different waters, and to help you really to become your better self. And when you start drinking that, you start detoxifying your body. So there's also through my own research there. I have not done it, but I have watched so many people do it, and it's just because I'm cheap. Well, I'm not cheap, but I'm more thrifty than anything. I just don't like
mm-hmm.
to spend money on things that I feel like I can do for myself. So, but I do know that there's a detoxer that will actually help you get rid of the pudge, because what it is just a buildup of toxins.
Ooh,
that's
well,
all
let me write it down. What is it? Please tell me.
No.
I
you,
want
we'll, I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you because – I'll send it to you. I don't want to plug anybody that, you know, that
ooh,
I have not
secret?
Used.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's our secret. And then when it started working for you, girl, then you can blast it all you want to. But it
all
worked.
Right.
I watched millions of my group. I'm in a group. Yes, I'm in a group full of 2,000 women, and these women are rocking it. Half of them are doing it. I have one lady. Beautiful lady. She was like almost 500 pounds and drinking this water that she drinks and taking this particular detoxer. It's a tea, and it really does work. She has dropped, she went to the gym for 100 days straight, not missing it. She almost died on the children and everything, and she came back, and she's been dedicated to living for her babies, and it's working. So I know the effects that it's doing for other people. And people, now you're a little small, petite woman, so there's not a lot that you have to do to be able to gain the success that you want to do, but that goes for all of us. I think we just have to discipline ourselves.
Absolutely.
Right, that's true.
I agree.
Okay, we're down to 10 minutes. 10 minutes left on the show, ladies. Any interesting topics that you guys want to bring to surface?
Well, we say that for next show.
We're gonna have to let that be a surprise and get behind closed doors and talk about that off the mic first, because I think it's getting pretty juicy. Mind blowing decisions, life, love, and relationships.
Yes, yes, yes. But oh my gosh! Just for those of you guys that aren't familiar, one thing I want to bring up, because you've inspired me. You know about water pHs and alkaline. I'm just like, yes, you know. But one thing I want to bring up, and this may ruffle a few feathers or rub somebody the wrong way, but I want to encourage everyone to investigate what's being put in your food. First and foremost, there's a great documentary called What the Health, H-E-A-L-T-H, on Netflix, and it exposes how a lot of the red meat, chicken, and poultry and fish are injected in with steroids and nasties, and the way that a lot of these animals are kept in these slaughterhouses and containing pus and bacteria, and it's ultimately affecting the food. And red meat has been categorized next to causing cancer and lung cancer and a lot of diseases as a pack of cigarettes. And it's terrible, and it's been put in the books, but a lot of these Cancer Foundation websites and things of that sort are listing recipes including these foods. So I just want to encourage you, ladies, watch that documentary, What the Health. If you have Netflix, if you don't have Netflix, I could give you my login. If not, if you do, go ahead and watch it, because it's definitely worth it. Please believe me. Research what's in your food. And there's even free documentaries on YouTube. Just do research on what's in your food, and also cleanliness in your house, most definitely. I'm always researching and finding different things to get into and watching as well.
We definitely have to talk, because I definitely am one of those people that believe in products that are not toxic, that doesn't have harsh chemicals. And I would love to share those things with you guys. I just don't want to plug anything on the show right now, but I'm all over those things. And you can't be a part of alkaline based lifestyle if you don't know about the cleaning agents that you use every day in your house outside of the meat, because chicken is being why do they try to force milk on us? Why we can't drink from our natural people? Like, cows drink cow's milk. We're going to go there. Let's go there. We ain't got that much logo on the show. You know the show? Go ahead.
Can I tell you? I got to tell you guys, for Latrice and everybody else on the line, there's actually entailed in the documentary that I've been watching that in cow's milk specifically, they allowed a certain percentage of pus from the ulcers of the cows and the baby calves to be allowed to be in the milk and be sold to the human public. And same for chocolate milk as well. Now, now, let me tell you about chocolate
milk.
Yeah,
we
got to
talk about that.
It still contains the pus, but the reason they add chocolate is because not only does it contain pus, but it also contains the bacteria-filled blood from the cows. And they mix it in and hide it with chocolate. You're welcome. I just saved your life.
Well, listen. Yes, you have.
We got
a little bit under 6 minutes. I want to take us out and let's listen to take us out on a song. So, ladies, if you got anything else last to share, go ahead and do that now. This has been a phenomenal show. I'm just grateful.
Well, ladies, we have so much to talk about for the next show, and I think health will definitely be our topic. Have a good night, ladies. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Oh, yeah. Round and round, round and round. I get around. still clown when the underground, when we come around. Stronger than ever. Back to get wrecked. All respect to those who break their necks to keep their hopes in check. Cause though they sweat a brother majorly, and I don't know why your girl keeps paging me. She tell me that she needs me, cries when she leaves me, and every time she sees me, she squeezes me. Lady, take it easy. Hate to sound sleazy, but tease me. I don't want it if it's that easy. Hey yo, bust it. Baby, got a problem saying bye bye. Just another hazard of a fly guy. Your ass why don't matter. My pockets got fatter. Now everybody's looking for the ladder. And ain't no need in being greedy. If you wanna see me, try to keep a number, baby, when you need me. And I'll be there in a jiffy. Don't be picky, just be happy with this quickie. But when you learn, you can't time it down, baby, dog. Check it out. I get around. What you mean you don't know? I get around. The underground just don't stop for hoes. I get around. Still down with the underground clowns. Around and around they go. I get around. Yeah. Hey, yo, shot. Let them hoes know.
Now you can tell from my everyday fits, I ain't rich, so cease and desist with them tricks. I'm just another black man caught up in the mix, trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents. Just cause I'm a freak don't mean that we can hit the sheets. Maybe I can see that you don't recognize me. I'm Shock G, the one who put the satin on your panties. Never knew a hooker that could share me. I get
what's up, love? How you doing? All right. Well, I've been hanging, singing, trying to do my thing. Oh, you heard that I was banging your homegirl you went to school with. That's cool, but did she tell you about her sister and your cousin thought I wasn't? See, weekends was made for Michelin, but it's a Monday, my day, so just let me hit it, yo. And don't mistake my take me for a clown. We can keep it on the down low, long as you know that I get around.
Round and round, round they go. To rock and roll, don't stop for hoes. I get around. Twist in the hips, cause I'm watching. Conversations on the phone to the break of dawn. Now we all alone, water lights on. Turn them off, time to set it off. Get your wet and soft, something's on your mind, let it off. You don't know me, you just met me, you won't let me. Well, if I couldn't have it, why you sweat me? It's a lot of real G's doing time. Cause the goofy bit the truth, I told a lie. You picked the wrong guy, baby, if you're too fly, you need to hit the door. Search for a new guy, cause I only got one night. You down, I get around.
You were tuned in to Mind Blowing Decisions with DJ Success every Wednesday at FacesOfSuccessRadio.com.
You've been listening to Faces of Success Radio. You have been listening to Mind Blowing Decisions, where we discuss love, life, relationships. And you have now concluded our show with Sean Thornton, your co-host. Naira, thanks. Gigi, thanks. Latrice, thanks. And all our callers who called in. And thank you for listening.
We love you. Have a good night. And to those of you who are suffering in silence, speak up, speak out, and get it out. Grow, heal, be well.